So the scripture reading for today is John chapter 6, verse 25 through 30. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." When they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?"
ヨハネによる福音書6章25節から35節までお読みします。そして湖の向こう側でイエスを見つけたとき、彼らはイエスに言った。先生、いつここにおいでになりましたか？イエスは答えて言われた。誠に誠にあなた方に告げます、あなた方が私を探しているのは印を見たからではなく、パンを食べて満腹したからです。なくなる食物のためではなく、いつまでも保ち永遠の命に至る食物のために働きなさい。それこそ人の子があなた方に与えるものです。この人の子を父すなわち神が認証されたからです。すると彼らはイエスに言った。私たちは神の技を行うために何をすべきでしょうか？イエスは答えて言われた。あなた方が神を使わしたものを信じること、それが神の技です。そこで彼らはイエスに言った。それでは私たちが見てあなたを信じるために印として何をしてくださいますか？どのようなことをなさいますか？私たちの先祖は荒野でマナを食べました。彼は彼らに天からパンを与えて食べさせたと書いてある通りです。イエスは彼らに言われた。誠に誠にあなた方に告げます、モーセはあなた方に天からのパンを与えたのではありません。しかし私の父はあなた方に天から誠のパンをお与えになります。というのは、神のパンは天から下ってきて世に命を与えるものだからです。そこで彼らはイエスに言った。主よ、いつもそのパンを私たちにお与えください。イエスは言われた。私が命のパンです。私に来る者は決して飢えることがなく、私を信じる者はどんな時にも決して乾くことがありません。
Good morning, again. For those of you who are paying attention, you might have noticed the Japanese was a lot longer than the English, and there was something maybe lost in the translation, you might be thinking, but what happened was Tama read from 25 to 35, and what you have in your program is from 25 to 30, which Brandy read. So that's what was lost in the translation, FYI.Man, tough crowd. This thing up. That's meant to me. All right. Anyways, before I start, I do want to do some appreciations. Although the people I wanted to appreciate are not here, because they're working hard with, if you have kids, with your kids or your grandkids. My wife and Anna, they are usually the ones taking care of the kids, and they're safe people. I trust my wife, anyways, with my life, almost. I trust her a lot. I don't know if it'll be silly to clap when they're not here, but if you do see them, you know, just thank them, especially if you have kids, because, you know, they're your kids, and you know how hard they can be, so... They, every week, they're faithful in just taking care of the kids. Oh, and actually, And Junko Mori, Junko Gabriel, who is here, she also takes care of our kids. So thank you very much, Junko. We could actually clap for her. We very appreciate it. Working with kids. You guys ever work with kids? It's hard. It's not easy. Just to give you a little background about myself, this has nothing to do with message. I used to work with kids. And prior to working with kids, I used to tell people, I love kids, I love kids. And then after working with them, I like kids. I just, you know, it's different. You know, playing with kids and working with kids, completely different story. Today's message is on Jesus' claim of, I am the bread of life. Now, what does that mean? I am the bread of life. Picking up with this story, it's a continuation from last week's message where Jesus multiplied bread and fish for 5,000 plus people. They came seeking Jesus, and they came because of the miracles he's done, the teachings he's taught, and they were in awe of him. And they weren't disappointed. They came to Jesus, and when they came to him, he multiplied bread and fish, and all of them ate. And it must have been the best bread they've had, because they'll come seeking him for more. And Jesus will point this out in this story. Picking that up in verse 25, it says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And they asked him that because, interesting enough, after feeding the 5,000 plus, he tells his disciples to go on the other side while he himself went up on a mountain to pray. And the crowd noticed that. We won't get into this part of the story today, but this is where Jesus walks on water and goes on the other side with the disciples. You'll have to come back another Sunday, and I'll keep this Sunday secret on how to walk on water. That'll be for another Sunday. Keep you guys on your toes. Apparently, you have to walk really fast, like run fast at an angle or something. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Rabbi is the Jewish term for teacher. After seeing the countless miracles, and even wanting to take Jesus and forcefully make him king, it's interesting that they still regard him as simply rabbi. It's not wrong. Calling Jesus rabbi is not wrong. That's the title he has. He's the rabbi. However, I have a sense and a feeling that they stop there as simply rabbi. And not Messiah, not Savior, not Lord. So it's different. There's a difference. I believe Jesus was expecting more. And not only was he expecting more, he was inviting them to more. He was inviting them into a greater understanding of who he is. Jesus was not just a prophet, although he was a prophet. Not just a rabbi, although he is the greatest rabbi. But he will, in this story, present himself as the Son of God, the Son of Man. Interesting enough, we know the end of this story. They don't put their faith in that. In fact, they would leave him because of that. Even though they wanted to make him king, they were not willing to accept that statement from Jesus. In our own relationship with God, and this is a question we should constantly ask ourselves, is how do we see Jesus? How do you see Jesus? Many of us who have come to know Jesus came to know him as Savior, right? A lot of people come to know Jesus, especially perhaps here in the West. I don't know about any other place, but we come to know him as someone who saves us, especially saves us from the fires of hell. I think, personally, that's how I came to know Jesus, as someone who could save me from hell. I wasn't necessarily looking for someone to teach me the philosophies of life, or teach me how to do miracles, or teach me anything of those things. But in my own personal spiritual journey, I had an emptiness, and I did believe in God, even though I was not Christian. I did believe in a heaven and a hell, even though I was not Christian. When my friend introduced Christ to me, that's what he appealed to. Is, Ahi, that's me. Sorry. He said, Ahi, if you were to die today, will you be 100% sure you go to heaven? And I said, no one can be 100% sure, but sure, yes, I think I'll go to heaven. I wasn't a bad kid. Grew up with good morals. My parents raised me right. But he introduced me the gospel, saying, well, heaven is perfect. And going there as an imperfect person would make heaven imperfect. I had a lot of questions, you know. I had a lot of questions. Sending someone imperfect simply to hell simply because he was imperfect had a lot of questions. But the Holy Spirit eventually worked in my life, revealed to me that yes, I do need a Savior. Yes, at this state, I do not deserve heaven. I think this crowd here had the same questions. They come to Jesus, and Jesus already knows what's going to happen. 26, verse 26. Jesus answers them, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. They had the most amazing dinner ever and they wanted more. Jesus goes on to say though, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Jesus points out something before they even ask him anything. He says, you're seeking me, which isn't bad. That's always a good place to be, seeking God. But he says, you're seeking me for superficial reasons. You're seeking me for what I can do for you. Now that's not bad in itself. It's not evil. However, Jesus wants to point out these superficial reasons are far less important for who I truly am and what I can offer you. Who I am and what it is I can truly offer you. They're seeking to be comforted physically when he has something that could touch them eternally. I just want you to know, and most of you do know, there is a gospel that is preached that would appeal to the masses and that would appeal to your superficial needs. There are teachings of that kind. It is up to you and I to know the difference. There's obviously going to be the easy ones, but it gets a little harder. Every counterfeit, there's going to be easy counterfeits to to realize to detect, but then there are counterfeits that are a little bit harder to detect. Coming back to this story, it's important that when we ourselves seek Jesus, that there is an understanding that He is more than just Savior. As we grow to know Jesus, and this is for those of us who've already accepted Jesus as Savior, He is more than just Savior. Although He is Savior, He is more than just Savior. He is Lord. In fact, the thing they got right about Jesus may be something we get wrong about Jesus. He is Rabbi. He is teacher. He is Sensei. It wasn't too long ago. I've been Christian for about nearly 20 years, maybe over 20 years. Wow. That's older than some of you guys. I've been Christian for over 20 years. And it wasn't till recent, these past 4 years, that I started intentionally calling Him Sensei when addressing Him, when praying. That's an important growth in our relationship with Jesus. Sensei. Is He your Sensei? Because each and every one of us, we do have a Sensei, whether we acknowledge it or not. The philosophy of life we live by, it can be dictated by Jesus or by somebody else. Could be our parents' philosophy of life, a cool teacher's philosophy of life, someone on television. The worst is having, you know, these pop stars, their song being your philosophy of life. Don't let that be the philosophy of your life, you know. Don't let them plant the seed of philosophy of life. And it's easy because they have catchy songs and it's almost like you're hypnotized into it. It's almost like there's somebody behind the scenes trying to pull the strings, right? I'll stop there. I won't go into all the crazy conspiracy stuff. But it's almost like there is somebody, an undercurrent, if you will, for us trying to control our lives and dictate our lives and to teach us and indoctrinate us in how to think and live. And each and every one of us, we have areas in our lives where we have been corrupted. That's what sin is. To become aware of that is an important progression in growing Christ-like. To recognize where it is that we have been or we have fallen short. Side note, sin and wickedness are not the same thing. Certainly they overlap. And so when I use the word sin, I do just simply mean fallenness, missing the mark. The Greek word, and I believe even the Hebrew word of sin, is a picture of missing the mark. So sinfulness is simply getting an arrow, shooting it, and missing the mark, even though you tried really hard to hit the mark. That's sin. Wickedness, on the other hand, is getting that arrow and not even trying to hit the mark, but looking in the audience and hitting the audience with your arrow. It's a little different imagery. And intentionally, not just missing the mark, but hurting people. Evil will be laughing uncontrollably as you hit people. So there are differences. And so when I use the word sin, I do mean just well-meaning, well-intentioned. However, just missing the mark. Moving on, verse 28. Then they asked Him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." The work of God, according to Jesus, painfully simple. He He just simply says, believe in me. That's the work of God. However, as simple as it is, in this story, the masses would leave him. They would not accept that. They were looking for something else. And Jesus, if I could give Jesus some advice, I might have advised him, hey, Jesus, why don't you put in the law in there? They really like the law. You know, throw that in there in your teaching. Say, you know, believe in me and follow the law to the T. They would have loved that. They would have ate that up. That's not what he says. The work of God. That's an interesting question. It's a valid question. What must I do the work of God? What should I strive towards? What should I put my effort, energy, and time in? Jesus could have gave him anything, right? He could have gave, it's a blank sheet. And he says, simply believe in me. Why couldn't they believe that? Why was it so hard for them to accept that teaching? And even today, why is it so hard? For the Jewish people here, it was hard because that went against everything they held dear to and valued. Believing in Jesus was a mind-blowing statement. They grew up their entire lives studying the Torah, studying the scripture, knowing the commandments, memorizing them, decorating themselves with scripture, going to the temple, following the laws of God. And Jesus comes and says, you want to know what God really wants you to do? Work to believe in me. Painfully simple. But truly something that is probably the hardest thing that you and I would have accomplished, if we can truly accomplish it. Because in our lives, it is contrary to that. Everything we earn, we work for. We live in a merit-based world. I'm not saying, please listen, I'm not saying there is nothing to be done except just to simply believe. It is a continual believing. But everything against that goes against what Jesus would be saying. Continually believing also suggests you are continually hearing. It suggests you know what God wants for you. Here a little easier, Jesus was there physically. Now painfully harder because Jesus is simply with us spiritually. We do not see him. Most of us do not physically hear him, taste or touch him. He is spirit. However, what Jesus says, his statement still rings true, believe in him, is a message where we are constantly in communication with him. So believing in him does imply that we're hearing from him. What is he saying to you today? Where is he leading you? It is simple that we believe in him, but it is not a belief in the historical Jesus. It's not simply the fact, yes, I believe that there was a historical Jesus who lived in the Middle East and did perform miracles and died on the cross. And yes, maybe I even believe that he rose from the grave. I believe all that. That is a great place to start, but that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. And just like bread, in their culture, this was a daily thing. Bread is something they ate on a daily basis. And Jesus is saying, same thing with me. On a daily, continual basis, do you believe in me? Do you trust me with your life? Do you trust me with your decisions, your choices? Do you trust me with the hard choices and decisions in life? Even with your occupation, for some of you, for your majors, do you trust me? Do you trust me if I lead you out of your secure jobs? Great question, right? Because if you're going to lead me out of a secure job, what signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? They should not be the ones asking that question. They've seen miraculous multiple signs already to have believed. But they asked anyway. What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Look at that. They even quote scripture to Jesus. They say it's written in scripture. Here again, I believe it reveals the true reason why these disciples were following Jesus. They were asking to be fed again. They wanted more bread, and if they knew he could make wine, they would have asked for wine as well. Not that Jesus doesn't want to do signs and wonders, but he doesn't do it here. And I believe he doesn't do it here because it would have been debilitating for their spiritual growth at that time. It wasn't a sincere question. They weren't asking to believe. They were testing him to disprove him. There's a difference. There are people that sincerely ask questions because they want to believe, but then there are those who simply ask questions to disprove something. And here I believe that's what the case was. Jesus doesn't give him a sign. He just gives them an even harder teaching. But moving on, it says, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." I lost my place, so let me just read that again. Sorry. Jesus said to them, "Very, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Again, he points out the difference. He gives life to the world. Jesus, again, inviting them. Something greater than just food for the moment. To sustain you physically. He is saying, what I have to offer is true life. Eternal life. Jesus declares, I am, this is in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. When he makes this statement, it is not a physical satisfaction. But for those of you who are hungry and thirsty, not simply physically, but you are hungry and thirsty for more, there must be something more than this. Is there more than just getting a great job, a nice family, a great house, a reliable car, vacations, summer and winter? Is there more to life than this? And the answer is yes, there is. In fact, Jesus is saying there is more to life than this life we live. So that after 80, 90, 100 years of living here, there is something more. There is something greater. That this state we are in is temporal. And something within the masses here knew that that was true. And I believe for each and every one of us, I believe in a certain sense, there is that inclination that there must be something more. And Jesus gives the answer, yes, there is more, and I am the way to that more. And for those of you who would receive me will never grow hungry or thirsty in that area of your life again. He will not only satisfy us here on earth, and for those of us who are believers, we know that satisfaction, but we also know the longing to be satisfied. It's a paradox, I know. Yes, I have been satisfied. But to be honest, to be completely honest, I still go throughout my day struggling to be satisfied. And that is the curse of sin in my own life. My body will constantly need food, water, and other more important things. Actually, you can't get more important than food and water, but air, but even physically. My body will still need attention. It will need all of these things. So even as Christians, I'm not saying you'll never have a need or want again if you become Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But in the area of is there more? Yes. And that can be filled by Jesus himself. He says, I am that bread. You come to me, I'll give you bread and living water to satisfy that part of your life. And in the last day, when all of this is gone, the fulfillment of that will come. The completion of that will come. And even now, as Christians, we all long for that too. We all long to be clothed with what God has in store for us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again